Darling, you sent me, I know you.
This 1957 record went to number one on the Billboard Top 40 and made Sam Cooke an overnight sensation.
Honest you do, honest you do, honest you do. Whoa.
6 years of success as a gospel singer, the temptation to cross over to rock and roll became irresistible, according to music historian Peter Guralnick.
Sam had in mind a much greater crossover than simply translating his gospel sound into the pop arena.
Guralnick wrote the video documentary Sam Cooke, Legend, 1951 to 1964. It's newly released on DVD and VHS, and so are digitally remastered CDs of much of the singer's best work. Guralnick says Cooke blended distinctive black and white musical styles, intending to widen his appeal.
He really intended to create a much broader bass sound.
Guralnick says Cooke used white backup singers on his early pop records to produce a contrast between their voices and his.
It was something that was unique to Sam. It involved that little yodel that he did, that kind of ululation, but it also involved an insinuation into the consciousness of the mainstream, and as he gains a hold of that consciousness, he then reintroduces elements of his music that he's buried.
If you ever change your mind, go by.
Listen to Bring It On Home to Me, which is adapted from a gospel song, and you have Lou Rawls's voice echoing Sam's in this very rough way, just as it would have in the gospel milieu.
Lou Rawls grew up with Cooke on the south side of Chicago, sang with him, and was a lifelong friend.
His appeal was universal. Color had no meaning, because his music was universal.
Interviewed on the Cooke documentary, Rawls says when they were on the road, Sam was always looking and listening for song ideas.
They were driving, it was in the South, and it was hot, and they had the windows open, and the chain gang was out there working. And Sam wrote the song.
Working on the chain gang. That's the sound of the men working on the chain gang.
Not only did Cooke compose songs, he owned the rights to them and had creative control over how they were recorded. He started his own publishing company and record label, and that was rare for a black performer, or any performer at the time, according to Dick Clark.
It really wasn't until the Beatles came along and began to create their own material, publish them, and create those concept albums that they took control. They began to learn the business. Sam was a pioneer. He knew the business way before you were supposed to know it.
Between 1957 and 1963, Cooke had many hit singles, including Having a Party, Only 16, Another Saturday Night, Twistin' the Night Away, Cupid, Good Times, and Wonderful World. The video documentary includes archival footage of Dick Clark asking Cooke about his career.
I've been in the business now, Dick, for about 6 years, and I haven't had a song that wasn't a hit, so I was on the charts, I think, from the time I started until now.
This is an amazing record. What's the secret?
I think the secret is really observation, Dick. Well, if you observe what's going on and try to figure out how people are thinking, and I think you can always write something that people will understand.
Understand and enjoy. Biographer Peter Guralnick says Cooke tried to keep his songs simple and singable.
He felt the song was a failure if, on the chorus, the audience didn't feel the impulse to sing along, if the listener didn't feel the impulse to sing along.
Cupid, draw back your bow. My lover's heart for me, Cupid, please hear my cry, and let your arrow fly straight to my lover's heart for me.
Cooke gradually steered his repertoire away from Top 40. He became more interested in producing other musical acts and in delving into the blues.
Sam made the blues album Nightbeat, which stands as almost a tribute to the kind of blues that Charles Brown popularized in the late 40s, early 50s. And then at the very end of his life, in late 64, his plans for his next album was to do a more down-home, a kind of funkier type of blues album, along the lines of John Lee Hooker or Lightnin' Hopkins or Muddy Waters.
I told you my story. I sang my song.
Cook never completed that project. Just a month before his 34th birthday, he was killed in Los Angeles.
Sam died in a motel shooting on December 11th, 1964. It was a senseless killing, something where he went to the motel with a woman, and there was a misunderstanding. It may have been a misunderstanding over money. The woman ran out with his clothes. He broke into the motel manager's office, thinking that the woman was hiding in there, and he was shot.
After four decades, Cook's music holds up surprisingly well. That's due largely to his perfectionism in the recording studio.
Don't know much about history. Don't know much biology. Don't know much about a science book. Don't know much about the French I took.
Sounds almost as if it could have been done on the first or second take. And yet it's something that Sam did probably 30 takes of, and then overdubbed his voice three or four more times after doing it, and he changed the instrumentation all the way through, and he changed the tempo. Tremendous care was given to these songs.
Music historian Peter Goralnik wrote the new video documentary Sam Cooke, Portrait of a Legend, 1951 to 1964. It's newly released on DVD and VHS, along with remastered CDs of many of Cooke's records. More Sam Cooke music and the story behind his historic performance at the Copa are at npr.org.
We're having a party, dancing to the music played by the DJ on the radio.
This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Bob Edwards.
Popcorn's on the table. Me and my baby, we're out here on the floor.